This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 12:04 on the 21st of March, 2019. My name is Rich Bradbury. It's Thursday today, I say, and Friday seems so far away. But join us for lunch, a wee happy bunch, and we'll help keep your bad thoughts at bay. It's also World Poetry Day.
Welcome to the show. Thank you, Rich. So my poetry is just going to be the really simple one. So roses are red, violets are blue. Welcome to the show. My name's Jeff Sandu.
Oh, smart.
And Christine Wong is now on air talking tech with fun and flair.
Wow!
Of course, this is Enterprise Biz Bytes, and we'll be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you'd like to get in touch with our show, 018-789-8899 is the number to get us on WhatsApp. On Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. Stories today, we'll be talking about... question for today is, here's a statement. Digital disruption gave birth to new monopolies in today's business world by providing great incentives to capture you, the consumer. Has their go-to-market strategy spoiled us? That's what we are running with throughout the afternoon. Get in touch regarding that. Story number two, could social media make your insurance cost more? Moving on to story number three, why you can't trust surveys. And then story number four, which is news from a survey, is why Canada is becoming a tech hub thanks to Donald Trump.
From a survey. All right, okay.
So let's kick off then.
Because I think everyone would have heard already that Grab will be charging a fee on passengers if you arrive late to the pickup location and stuff, right? So it's from R3 to R5 depending on how much or what the kind of rides you have, right? So yesterday, the morning run, the bigger picture, they all spoke at length about this. And this was even something, you know, whether is this legal for Grab to do this? I think the bigger picture covered it yesterday. While this is kind of still up in the air and Grab is still working around the ways to execute this. Did all this just happen because of a monopoly one would have in an industry vertical, right? So let's take a step back and see, like, you know, how Grab kind of started. It started in 2011 in a beta phase. They went public in 2012. And back then we had taxis, we had Ubers, and Grab was actually called as My Taxi.
Yeah.
And then they moved to get private vehicles on board. Thus, they called themselves Grab. Moreover, if you remember, back then, there were many incentives to be a Grab driver because they were competing directly against Uber and also the taxis, right? So some drivers I remember I spoke to when they just started off, they were saying that, you know, they could earn things like R10,000 per month easily because of the incentives that was being thrown to the driver to become a Grab driver, right? So why was this happening back then? This was their go-to market strategy. It was giving great incentives to entice drivers from Uber to move into Grab and then get also more drivers who are students and, you know, elderly people, whoever that has a car and has got free time. I remember I spoke to a guy who actually run a mobile phone shop in Mongkiara who did this whenever he's, you know, feels like, you know what, there's an assistant now helping me and I'm just going to go around town for a couple of hours riding Grab, right? So it was time for them to get more users because they spent a lot of effort in getting this network of drivers that they were very proud of as well, right? So their focus was to give incentives to the users by giving them promo codes, discounted rides and a whole bunch of things that entices you to use it. And I will be guilty of this because I started using their service because I could get free rides.
You started using them just after the incentives came in, did you?
When the incentives started to actually, you know, appear, like they were giving out free rides for every other day, for weekends, like, you know, hey, going down to the mall, use this promo code to go to the shopping mall and your ride is like R5 or something.
So if I'm not mistaken, basically your kind of angle on this is that because we have been kind of spoiled by all these incentives, now that Grab is kind of moving the needle back to giving the drivers more incentives, suddenly there's an uproar, right? Like, why should we have to pay a fee for being late and all this stuff? But I think generally speaking, you know, when you run a company that is a service company like this, you kind of have two parties to satisfy. You're going to have your consumers, obviously, but your own employees you have to satisfy in a different way than I think other companies would have. Like, it's not the same thing as like, oh, if you, for example, run your own handcrafted thing, right? You just have you and the consumers, and that's it. Mm. Only two parties. But because Grab has to kind of balance this tightrope between keeping the drivers satisfied so they stay there and, you know, make the company successful, but also to keep the consumers satisfied who are giving them money too.
And let's be honest, the drivers are not making 10,000 ringgit anymore.
Not anymore, right? Because they moved that needle back to, you know, to get more people to use their services, and they had so many other things. So now they are a monopoly with no real competition. I know there are many other players in this field, but in terms of dominance in the market, it's all Grab at the moment. However, I don't think this was done because they have a monopoly in terms of, you know, now being able to charge users a penalty of like 3 to 5 ringgit. It's not because they have a monopoly. Grab is, like Christine said, it is a business at the end of the day. There's a lot of digital disruption that has happened in the past, and startups, they use aggressive marketing methods and their go-to market strategy to disrupt the traditional businesses. So some have even used the free model and changed the entire business model. Facebook, for example, right? It's all free, but they are making money from your data and marketing it out to advertisers, and we have an issue with that because they've been doing things that we aren't comfortable and we apparently didn't agree to, and there are tons of privacy and security breaches. But imagine if Facebook now decides to move that needle and say that, you know what, we're going to start a subscription service where you pay for the service and they don't use your data for marketing. Imagine the uproar in that.
Mm. Yeah, I think there would be initially, but I also think that if you gave people that choice and you said, okay, the fee is 1 ringgit per month or $1 per month, I think a lot of people would consider that, you know, knowing that their data is not going anywhere.
Mm, and I think also that would shift exactly what demographic Facebook is selling to, because we're not the consumers of Facebook, we're the product.
Yeah, exactly. So another example is newspapers. In the past, we were used to paying our newspapers on a daily basis, some even on a weekly basis. Then came the digital disruption and everything, you know, moved online. News portals, they came on board, and most of them went on the free model first, right? But then some decided that, you know what, I think the free model is enough and they need to start charging users and come up with a paywall because the digital stream was becoming their main source of traction, their main source of flow for the news itself. However, let's face it, like, how many of us actually pay for all these media subscriptions? We may have one or two, but not like what we would have before, where we would subscribe to all the news channels that we have, you know, in terms of delivering newspaper. Now we're very selective in who we can, because we just can't afford it, right? So we've been, I feel we've been in a way spoiled by a digital disruption that's happened, and I honestly believe that, like, what Grab has done is just, like Christine says, they've got two areas here of dealing with this. It's the consumers who were really happy and like, oh, Grab is amazing, there's like free rides, free promo codes, all this kind of stuff. But the drivers were, you know, were unheard of in terms of listening out to their complaints, right? So now they just maybe had listened to more of the driver's side and what's the issues with some of the drivers' problems that they're having, and then thought of, like, you know what, maybe we should do this. Because you have to remember, these two sides, the consumers and the drivers, has made them into a valuation of like $14 billion. So, you know, part of this $14 billion is the drivers, and they need to, you know, also be heard in terms of their frustration. So it's now, and the super apps thing, right? Grab is not just a ride-hailing company. They're doing more than that. They're doing food. There's a fintech thing that we talked about yesterday as well. So they're more than that. And I don't think this is like the end of it. This is probably just the beginning of how we are going to have to change our mindset and not be so spoiled.
Okay. To address a couple of things in that, the first thing I want to address is that, you know, I think the idea of them, we are addressing our drivers' wants and needs, I think is a bit of a misnomer. I think waiting around for, as we saw from the feedback yesterday on the bigger picture and the evening edition, waiting around for a driver that often is late or doesn't turn up is a big issue, right? And then turning that around to the consumer and say, look, the onus is now on you to be on time at the right place. We've always done that for the most part, you know, unless you're coming down in a lift and you are saying, right, I'm ordering my Grab now, you're coming down into the lobby, you're a couple minutes late, understood. I don't think it's all about pleasing the driver. I think what it's about is about pleasing the investors who have come in with a ton of money. and to help Grab kind of expand in this region, and they're looking at other ways in which they can expand, you know, both vertically and horizontally, and they're doing an awful lot of expansion very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And so you've got to think of ways in which you can make some fast bucks very quickly, and one of those ways is something like this. Okay, you're not in, there in time, we'll just take $3, or we'll just take $5. And if you've noticed as well, I don't know if you have, Chris, if you have... this is a recent thing as well that I've noticed. You can now tip your driver. £3, £2, £4. Great, you know, so that's also incentivizing the driver to, you know, to stay on with the Grab network. There's some good stuff out there. I just don't necessarily think this is all about the drivers.
I don't think anything is about any single party that Grab does, right? And you know, as we do keep saying, it is a business, and really the onus for them is not to please both parties exactly, but it's to earn money,
make
really,
money,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, but I do, however, think that this is a good incentive. I truly do agree with this. I think a lot of the uproar that happened about it, and I agree with Jeff, is because the consumers are spoiled.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if and you know, there I have, you know, run into, for example, some logistical issues where I call a Grab and I expect it to be coming in a few minutes and it's already here, right? Mm. And but that's on me, right? Mm. As a consumer and as a person with decency to let the driver know that I'm on my way. So I don't think that this is bad for the drivers necessarily, but I do have to question, you know, where exactly this extra money is going to. Is it going directly to the drivers? Because I know that there's a bit of a complicated system. It doesn't just go straight directly into their accounts. There's a whole wallet system they have to navigate, you know. So is Grab still taking a percentage of that? Like, is you know, 100% of this linked fee going directly to the driver? We don't quite No, I don't think.
Mm. Yeah, so the logistics of why Grab did this and how they're going to actually execute this is still up in the air, even though I think it's supposed to start off somewhere next week itself. But in a larger scale of things, I think we really have to start getting used to paying things online, because we've just been spoiled with a lot of free incentives. And I think, you know, later on in our next story about how your social media behavior and postings could affect your insurance kind of relates to this, because we live two lives now, but it's so intertwined that we whatever we do in real life, we have to also see the same thing on the online world. Because back then we go like, oh, you know, I could get all my news for free. And then now when someone comes up with a paywall, we go like, I'm not going to pay because the internet is supposed to be free. The internet is supposed to be a medium for you to...
It's a tool.
It's a tool, but there's so much more maintenance, talents, things that go behind the scene that you don't see, which the internet has eliminated that.
All right.
So, yeah.
We're going to take a short break, ladies and gents. Give us some feedback regarding that story. You know, have we been spoiled by digital disruption? You know, did we get too much free stuff at the beginning? And how do we wean ourselves of it? Is it good for a company like Grab to say, you know what, you've had enough, you've had too much sugar in your tea, it's time you cut down? Let us know. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. Get us on Twitter or on Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. When we come back, story number two, could social media make your insurance cost more? That's all coming up on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.